Confession. I've been talking about the tongue on Sunday evenings, and last week, Brother Brian spoke on gossip, did a magnificent job on gossip, and I was privileged to even share some of that, Brother Brian, with some people that I frequent with at the gym, and gossip. I mean, that was just very intriguing, very interesting. And tonight is it's going to be pretty interesting as well. There's some things that I learned in all my years of study. I guess I missed it. And one thing about confession, it is both positive and it is negative. It's both positive and it is negative. But also, confession, it is spiritual. And so the song that we just sung together, Living by Faith, remember, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so how do we know about confession? We know about confession because the word of God teaches it. And so I just need you to go with me for a little bit, because we're going to look at the New Testament first and consider some of the words in the New Testament. And then we're going to make a transition to the Old Testament. And when we consider some of the words of the New Testament, the word confession, one definition means, it literally means to say the same thing as another. And so, if you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, very familiar passage of scripture for Bible students. We have Jesus, and he would mention these words. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Literally, when you think about confessing here, it's saying the same thing, to say the same thing as another, to agree with. But then I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. And Brother Strodo, if you don't mind, Chad, I want you to read 1 John 1 and verse number 9. Now, this is on the cusp of 1 John 1, 7, and 8 as relates to walking in the light and making sure that we're telling the truth as we are doing such. But in 1 John 1 and verse number 9, what does that say?
We confess our sin.
All right, again, to say the same thing as another, but also the idea to admit or to declare oneself guilty of what one has been accused of. Now, the difficulty of that is, that's difficult. It's difficult to be accused of something and then admitting that's what I did. That's what I did. But when we think about confessing sin, confessing fault, that's exactly what we're doing. We are saying, okay, this is the law of Christ. I went against that law. I'm confessing that I went against that law. This is what I did. Okay? So I want us to look at Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, this is another idea of agreeing with, if you will. And Brother Brian, if you will, I want you to read that, Romans 10, 9 and 10. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, we see this language here. What does that say?
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
All right, so here we have a mixture. Because when we think about confessing Christ and confessing with our mouth, we're using our mouth to speak on what's in our heart, to confess that he is the Christ. Remember the context there as it relates to the word of God has come down from God. We have this word, and no one has to go up there to go get that word. God has already brought it down to us. But we have the responsibility of confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And this confession is made unto salvation. It's made unto salvation. Now, one more, Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. Lance, if you don't mind, Hebrews 13 and verse number 15.
Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
All right, so in the New King James rendering, the word or phrase giving thanks is our same word, homologeo, or confess. Same word, same idea. So we see a positive aspect to that. We're giving thanks unto our God, the fruit of our lips. But then, if we can say it, we see a negative aspect. I'm admitting something that I've done in my life that I need to get right. And so you have the Hebrews 13, verse 15, you got the 1 John 1 and verse number 9, and both of them are very important because as we're giving thanks unto God through Jesus Christ, and as we are admitting that we have sinned, this confession, the fruit of our lips, it is the same idea of homologeo, literally to say the same thing as another. Well, if I'm confessing Christ, that means that I am saying the same thing that God says about Christ. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through verse number 19, we're on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" All right? And remember what is being said here. Kipton, I need you to begin reading, and I want you to begin reading at verse number 16, and I want you to end at verse number 18. Kipton, good.
Simon.
All right, great job. Now, Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, hold on. Was he speculating or did he receive that by revelation? Y'all answer. He received it by what? By revelation. In other words, he was saying the same thing that was told to him about who this man was. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You know, I find it very interesting that some people call themselves Christians, but they won't even say the same thing that God says about his own son. You can't call yourself a Christian and not call Jesus Messiah. You can't call yourself a Christian and not obey what Messiah teaches. We confess the same thing that the Christ tells us about himself. We confess the same things that God says about Messiah, about Christ. You cannot be a Christian and not say the same thing that God says about Christ. But now there's another word. There's another word. It's ex homologeo. Now, another Greek word. This is why when we're studying the scriptures, especially our English translations, we just can't take the word and say, okay, it means this. It means this. Turn to James 5, and let's look at verse number 16. The word ex homologeo means to acknowledge openly. Now watch this, friends, and joyfully. Now, when I saw that, I'm like, wow. To acknowledge openly and joyfully. It also means to celebrate. to give praise to profess that one will do something, to agree fully. The prefix ex is very interesting. It literally means away from, the point where an action or emotion proceeds from. So when I think about the idea of exit, that means that we're leaving the inside, and Brother Ryan, we're going outside. I can't be inside and outside at the same time. Y'all stay with me. Y'all wake up. So we stop and we consider this. Look at James chapter 5 and verse 16. And let me have Royce. James 5 and verse 16.
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man abounds much.
Now, confess. This is not homologeo. Okay? This is not saying the same thing. This is a different word. This word here means to acknowledge openly and joyfully. That's right, Liam. That's interesting. Confess your what to one another? Your trespasses. The word trespasses mean to fall beside or near something, a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness. In other words, to sin or a misdeed. So I called Brian up. I said, Brian, I need you to pray for me. I've sinned in this manner. I need you to pray for me. To acknowledge openly and joyfully. What's so joyful about acknowledging that I've sinned and what I've done? Why can I look at that in a joyful manner? All right, God is faithful. He's willing to forgive. Okay, excellent. Anyone else?
The end result.
All right, so the end result, okay, is heaven. Excellent. Anyone else? I'm lifting a weight off. I'm pushing something out. Brother Daniel and I was talking about this yesterday. Brother Dan, I can't wait. I got to say it, okay? In the Old Testament, the word for confess literally means to throw out. Hold on, Chad, I need you to pray for me. I sinned in this manner. Yes. And I know this for a fact. When we hold on to sin, it weighs us what? Down. So why do we hold on to the very thing that God says I want you to throw away? Question. I have trash in my house. Do I just throw it on the floor, on the couch, under the bed? Or do I put it in the waste basket and then ultimately put it in the trash can outside? That depends on who you are. That's true. I'm not being ugly. That's true. Because sometimes we like trash to pile up in the house. Well, hold on, you got a waste basket. Put it in the wastebasket. And then when it gets full, guess what? Take it out. God is doing the same thing when it comes to our spiritual life. Okay, you got trash. Throw it out. Why? Because you don't want that trash to start collecting in your heart, in your mind, in your life. And the next thing you know, you're weighed down by trash. Let me prove that to you. Anybody want to make a comment before I go any further? Because I got real happy telling Daniel this yesterday. This good stuff. And I see why folk are so weighed down in life. Because you're holding on to things that you shouldn't be holding on when you ought to just be confessing your faults one to another. And if you look at James chapter 5, verse number 16, and pray for one another, and notice the end result that you may be. Maybe God lied, Ryan. Maybe the Holy Spirit told James something wrong, because I wish we had time, Brother Jerry. I'll have you come up there and lead that song, Living by Faith, again, because sometimes I don't think we believe God, because we hold on to things that God says, I need you to throw out the trash. But that's going to require me confessing. That's going to require me looking at what I'm about to get rid of with joy. A calm delight. Oh, okay. Isn't it amazing when you confess fault, confess sin, you just feel better? Your conscience feels better? You feel, but now you got to muster up all of that strength and you got to get the ego out, easing God out, in order for you to actually feel better. But Brother Mike, you don't understand. People are going to look at me a certain way. That's true. But at the end of the day, who cares as long as heaven looks at you right? Any comments before we go any further? Yes, ma'am, Sister Anna. Absolutely. 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 Yes, ma'am.
I think we desire to get rid of the weight, we desire to get rid of the trap, but it's the consequences that come as a result of the confession that is what is hard to deal with. And some people would rather attempt to hide their sin or to keep their sin just between them and God and nobody else, as opposed to openly dealing with the consequences of their sins and of their actions.
Excellent. Anyone else? Appreciate that. So there's another idea here. Look at Acts 19. Look at verse number 18. Friends, when I saw this definition and I saw the context of James chapter 5 and how I can actually get rid of the weight in my life by confessing, by calling things what they are, that I may be healed, pray for one another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That tells me something. That tells me that God doesn't want me to be weighed down by anything in life. And so Jesus got it right again, friends. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I really wonder if we believe that. I think sometimes people just, they want to hold on to sin until they can't hold on no more. I didn't say hold on to vices, as in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, the weight and the sin. I'm talking about holding on to sin. Confess your faults. Let's get rid of it. Let's do away with it. Why? Because when we do away with it, we can actually free ourselves and may even begin to have some real joy in our lives. So in Acts 19 and verse number 18, Isaac. Acts 19 and verse 18. What does that say? Now, here you have the gospel being preached, and you have evil spirits being cast out, and you see God is being glorified, and notice what they're doing in Ephesus. We have people believing, we have people confessing, and they're telling their deeds. Wow. The same thing happened in Matthew 3 and verse number 6. The same thing. When John was out there in the wilderness and he was preaching, those Jews came out there confessing their deeds. Well, no, I can't do that, Brother Eli, because then people are going to look at me differently. That's their problem. That is their problem, friends. I believe sometimes we have too much pride to confess our faults to one another. Look at Philippians 2. Let's look at verse number 11. And I'm not talking about knife and man. I'm talking about just people. General, people in general. Brother Areola, Philippians chapter 2.
Philippians 2:11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Now notice what is going to be confessed on that day. If you're taking notes, put in Romans 14:11. That's a sister text. What is going to be confessed that day? That Jesus Christ is what? You know how many people that don't confess Jesus Christ to be Lord today? A whole bunch. A whole bunch. And I'm not talking about necessarily with their mouths, but also with their lives. It's the same for us. Parents, we have to teach our children how to confess their lives, to confess Christ with their lives. It is so important. Any comments before we go any further?
Back to your point about confessing. I think sometimes you feel like you can fix it yourself. And then you think, I don't want to burden anybody with the sin I brought upon myself. And it's private, or it's more, undiscovered, or people wouldn't necessarily know. So I think we all should intimately know ourselves.
That's right.
And our own temptations.
That's right.
But at the same time, the benefit of being a member of the church, especially a faithful congregation.
Amen.
Well,
since you brought it up, let's look at Luke chapter 4. Let's look at verse 18. And since you brought it up, I want you to read it, Brother Brian. Because, that's why Jesus came. He came to free us. He came to give us liberty. This is why he came. So here we have Jesus, and he's in the synagogue. He finds Isaiah, and he begins reading. What does that say, Brother Brian? Chapter 4, verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Why did Jesus come? He came for that express reason, friends, to free us. Don't hide sin. Don't hide it. Let's look at the Old Testament. I'll be right where you want me to be in a few minutes. In the Old Testament, I want you to look at two different ways this word is used. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse number 30. And again, this comes from the Hebrew word yada, to confess sin, to give thanks, praise, to throw away, to throw down, to shoot, to cast down, to confess the name of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse number 30, let me have Grant. 1 Chronicles. And then Eli, I want you to get 1 Chronicles 16, and I'll tell you where to begin. Verse 30, 23:30.
And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening.
To thank the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, in the temple, when they were in the temple, can you imagine them giving thanks to the Lord all day, sometimes two-thirds of the day, Brother Roy, sometimes half the day, standing up? And in the prayer of Brother Glenn, he was talking about the comforts of this building. And we get to sit down in air conditioning. They were standing up, giving thanks, yada, unto Jehovah God. Eli, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want you to read verse 4 and keep standing, because then I'm going to have you read some more.
16, verse 4, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord,
to commemorate, to thank. Here, the idea of confessing is the idea of praising, giving thanks. Look at verse 7.
Verse 7, on the day David first delivered this song into the hands of Asaph and his brethren, to thank the Lord.
To thank the Lord. Now, I want you to continue reading, and I'm going to stop you along the way from 8 to verse 15.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deed among the people.
Stop real quick. Notice what it means to confess, or in this particular translation, to give thanks. This is our word. To confess doesn't necessarily mean only that I'm confessing fault, confessing sin. It means I'm giving thanks. I'm confessing that God is God. And some, even in the Lord's church, come on the first day of the week and won't even open up their mouths and give thanks to God. Half sleep, because they stayed up all night. Friends, to come and worship God is a privilege. It's an honor. We ought to be saying, I get to go worship. I tell folk all the time, I get to go to work. I get to go to work. There's some people that don't have a job. They're looking for a job. Friends, we get to go to worship. We get to praise our God. Keep reading. Notice what it says.
Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous work. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. His wondrous and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, your child of Jacob, his chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for a thousand generations.
All right, now drop down to verse 34 and 35 and then also verse 41. All of this is about giving thanks. Same idea as confess. It's a very positive way of seeing this idea. What does it say?
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And says, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles. To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. In your praise. Is that 21?
Yes.
And with them, Heman. And
Judathan. Jeduthan.
And the rest of who were chosen and were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever.
Alright, now brethren, when we are giving thanks to God, same idea as confessing. Let's not just look at confession as, okay, I came down to tell you as the congregation I sinned against God. No, we're confessing to God that he is who he is and what he has done for us and what he has done for the world by giving his son, by giving us life. And therefore, we use our mouth to glorify him. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. In Nehemiah chapter 9, the first three verses, let me have Brad. Nehemiah 9, the first three verses. We see two ideas here. We see confession, and we see worship.
One through three. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled for fasting and sackcloth, and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and fasted their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for 1/4 of the day, and for another 1/4, they fasted and worshiped the Lord, their God.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Worshiping God for 1/4 of the day, and then another 1/4 of the day, you are confessing your faults, and the Word of God is working on their hearts. Wow. When was the last time you spent time just confessing to your God the faults in your life? When was the last time you spent time confessing to your God how great he is? When was the last time you done that? Friends, it's no small matter. Both of those are very, very great. And they're powerful. And they can bring great joy to your life. Because you get to release whatever's in your heart. And you get to throw out unto God how awesome and great he is. Wow. Any comments?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
I think you have to know who God is.
You got to know him.
Because it's easy to cry out for redemption. Another thing to be able to recognize that redemption and what he's done for you. Here in Nehemiah, they've been brought back from captivity. They're now
free.
It seems like a really good context to say, hey, you got us through that 70 years.
That's right. Anyone else? So we see the results of James chapter 5 and verse number 16 is that confession is made and prayer is offered. And now you find yourself freed. You find yourself healed. You find yourself being made whole. You find yourself cured. And literally, the idea in from the Greek is to be freed from errors and sins. I talk to people all the time, and it's interesting. Well, I'm a sinner. Well, why can't you be a saint? Well, we're all sinners. Well, hold on. So there's no distinction between God's people and the world? Brethren, we ought to get to a point, growing to a point, where we have confessed fault, and we can say, yes, God is good. But I see, it makes sense. This study has really helped me because I believe that many are crippled because they don't want to leave sin alone. They don't want to leave it alone. And so they hold on to it and they hide it. All right, let me prove that. Joshua chapter 7. Let me prove that. In Joshua chapter 7, and I'm going to read this. We come across Achan. And you remember, Israel had sinned against God. I find it very peculiar that God didn't say Achan sinned against me. He said Israel sinned. Well, why would he use the part or the whole for the part? Well, he's making a point. In Joshua chapter 7, starting at verse number 10, notice what the Bible here communicates. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have put also... They have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Now, what did God charge Israel with? What did he charge them with? Say again. All right. What else? Say again. All right. Theft. What else? Lying, covering it up. Okay. What else? Now, this is important because if confession is going to be made and one of the definitions is to say the same thing, I got to know what the charge is. And one thing that God is not going to do, he's not going to charge you and not have the evidence for the charge. They took of the accursed thing. Now, I want you to drop down to verse number 19. Daniel, you don't mind, I want you to read 19 through 21. Now, remember the charge. Remember the charge. That's important. Remember the charge. What does the Bible say? 19 through 21.
Joshua, son of David, my son, give praise and glory to the Lord God. Make confession to him. Tell me now what I have done. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done it. So I saw among his clothes a filthy Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, which I hold, 50 shekels of weight. And I covered them, and took them, and behold, they are in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver.
Hold on, did God get the charge right? Did Achan realize what he did? Did he say the same thing that God say? He said the exact same thing. But there's a difference in this situation here, because God said, whoever take it, they're going to die. That was the punishment. That was the punishment. So I got a question for you. As it relates to Achan's confession, was it based upon genuinely wanting to do what was right, or because his actions cornered him to openly avow and acknowledge what he did? There are some people that won't do, they won't confess anything until they've been in a corner. Brethren, let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. And if you see it in your children early, you need to try to do what you can to get it out of them, because they'll try to hide things, try to hide sin. But here's the issue. Let's look at Proverbs 15. Let's look at verse number 3. In Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, Proverbs 15 and verse number 3. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3. Remember, the things that are written aforetime, written by learning. Proverbs 15, verse 3, what does that say?
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good.
All right. Now, I want to show you something. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 17, we're not going to read this, but we have David, and remember, he was sinning, or he sinned rather, with Bathsheba. And what did David try to do? Chad, what did David try to do with what he did with Bathsheba? You remember? He tried to hide it. In what ways was he trying to hide it? Wow. Uriah had more integrity in that particular situation than David did. Wow. Hold on. We got an issue. I want you to take notice of something, because he tried to cover it up, but the Bible tells us that God wasn't pleased with that. I want you to notice something. 2 Samuel chapter 12, or it may be 11. Let me make sure. Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 11, 26 and 27. Let me have Glenn. 2 Samuel chapter 11, 26 and 27, and focus in on verse 27.
And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done,
I think that's it right there. See, David was trying to hide it, and Chad gave a good summary of that. But God was displeased. And it took Nathan, according to the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 7, to come before David and to give him this great parable. And David, with his soft heart and real good man, he really is, Nathan said, you're the man. And so what did David do? In verse number 13, he confessed. He said, I've sinned. Oh, the strength to say that. Those are some of the hardest words a human being can utter. I have sinned. Brother Ryan, that's tough. You're admitting some things. You're admitting fault. You're admitting that I've gone over and beyond what God said. You go to Psalm 51, and David pours his heart out to God, and he confessed to God, against you and you only have I sinned. Well, hold on. What you did to Bathsheba, and what about Uriah? Ultimately, all sins are against who? They're against God. That's his point. So put this in your notes. Psalm 32, the first two verses. Psalm 37, 37 and 38. And Psalm 51, 1 through 19. Because one thing that David did, David got it right. Oh, blessed is the man whom God does not impute sin against him. He confessed, Brother Royce. He got it right. You know, when a person comes and they say, I have sinned and this is what I did, we ought to be wrapping our arms around them. They've confessed. Oh, they could have easily just wallowed in their sins and stand before Jesus Christ on that day. And God's going to open up the record, the books, and another book is open, the book of life. No, he got it right. And so God, having the ability to see a man's heart, he saw his heart. And so I want us to look at one more thing and I'm done. Because, yes, David did that, but look at 2 Samuel 24. And one thing I love about the God of heaven, he loves to give a balanced record of man. David numbered the people, and God was angry at him because of that. But in verse number 10, notice David's heart. Brother Grant, do you mind reading 2 Samuel 24 and verse number 10? And listen to what he's saying here, brethren. So this is why when we are working with one another, and okay, brethren might not do things right from time to time, but then you see them doing right from time to time. Well, let's look at all of what this person is doing. Let's look at the whole work. Because if you leave it to man, David probably wouldn't have never put in the episode with Dave, with him and Bathsheba. He's not going to put that in no book. It's embarrassing, but God will. But then God went to the other side, and he's going to show us something about this great man of God. What does the Bible say?
And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.
Unless my understanding is not right, this is the way I see David. I numbered the people. I can't believe I did that. I'm not trusting God. You know, there are times when we do things that are not right and our conscience bothers us immediately. And what do we want to do? Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Or we do something against our spouse. It's like, man, I'm sorry. What are you sorry about? I didn't even know you did it. I just need to get it right. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Brethren, I do believe we ought to get to a point that if a brother or sister comes and say, you know what, I'm sorry for such and such, hey, don't worry about it. What did you do? Okay. If you need to know, this is what I did. Man, I can't believe you did that. Like, well, hold on, I'm confessing it. It took a lot of gumption for me to even come to you. I just need you to release me. I need you to release me. Yes, sir.
Well, again, we have the perfect example of the parable of the Father and Son. When he came to his senses,
yes.
What did he do? I've sinned before God. Man, I've done wrong. Once he did what he did, son, his father came off the way.
That's right.
And he was forgiven and wrapped his arms around him.
That's right. That's right.
Not one of the world. Well, I'm pretty messed up and all that. No, he recognized his sin before God had made it.
That's right. So this class is all about not holding on to sin. Using your mouth to praise and honor and glorify God. So I leave you with this. Let's confess our God. Let's confess our Lord. Let's give thanks to our God. Let's acknowledge our sin. Let's have hearts willing to be corrected. And let's get things right without chastisement from men. I shouldn't have to be chastised by Brother Brian if I'm being chastised by my God. There's some things that Brother Brian will never know about because God and I have a relationship through that book. Why? Because I'm reading it. And I'm allowing it to convict me, and I get to confess to God. And one thing I love about God, and you ought to love this about him too, he's not like man. He don't tell all your business. Oh, he's good. You can confess it to him. You can lay your burden at his feet. He's faithful and just to forgive. And you'll be the only one and him that know about it. Any final thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate the point about God doesn't, you know, spread your business out there. But if you do not humble yourself, he will bring you to an open shame.
Brethren, everything that's in the dark comes to the light. Just one brother said one time, I'm done. He said, I figure I'll go ahead and tell you now before the Lord tell you later. That's so true. That is so true. Young people, don't think you're going to hide. You can't hide. Don't just get it out. Talk to God about it. Confess it. And then confess him. You'll live a life. You won't be burdened by sin. You don't have to be watching your back. You can be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ.